Okay, so I warned you back in January of 2024 that they were going to start a war with Iran before the elections. And here we go. Let's look at the timeline of events of the last week, and it's going to explain everything you need to know about what's coming. This is it. This is a game changer, what just happened. Netanyahu gets on a plane, comes to the United States, gives a speech to Congress, gets more standing ovations than State of the Union address. Bipartisan support, meets with all members of the corporatocracy from Elon Musk to Kamala Harris. Gets the unofficial green light to go to war with Hezbollah. And what a coincidence that on the day of his scheduled return, there just so happens to be an attack on civilian children, Syrian civilian children in the occupied Golan Heights. Okay? The Israelis attribute this attack to Hezbollah. Hezbollah claims that it was an IDF interceptor. Not going to get into that debate. I'm just giving you both sides of the story. I'm just talking about coincidences here. Then, a few days later, Israel strikes Beirut, the capital city in Lebanon, a suburb in Beirut, and takes out, or claims to have taken out, one of Hezbollah's top commanders. Now, Hezbollah typically will admit when one of their guys has been martyred, as they say, and they haven't done that yet. So there's rumors that the guys may be in critical condition and they don't know how to announce it yet. Maybe he may live, maybe he's on life support, who knows. The Israelis are claiming that he was assassinated. Then just a couple hours ago, we have the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh. He is the leader of Hamas, the political leader, the chief negotiator. All this talk about ceasefires, it's over. It's done. He was the guy who was negotiating. It's over. What that means is that any remaining hostages are going to be either Hannibal doctrined or maybe Israel has some sort of covert ops plan in order to bring them back. Regardless, what this means is massive escalation. Iran launched 300 missiles on Israel back in April in response to Israel's targeting of some of their generals in Syria on technically what's Iranian soil at the Iranian consulate there. So in response to just an attack on a consulate in Syria, Iran launched 300 missiles and drones, very coordinated because they wanted it to be a horizontal escalation. They didn't want things to get out of control. They notified the Israelis and the Americans in advance. So it was all for optics, right? And so both sides could come out looking like they did something. And then, okay, now we have a situation where the capital of Iran, Tehran, was struck not by armed gunmen, not by an armed terrorist, not by a car bomb. We're talking about an airstrike on Tehran, okay? With presumably maybe a drone or something like that. We don't really know yet. We're talking about killing the leader of Hamas on Iranian soil with a drone. Now, not only is this an embarrassing blunder for the Iranians, who will definitely be seeking some sort of retribution, you would assume, because this is a clear violation of international sovereignty. But, you know, obviously, a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions with respect to how did it happen. But this is a massive escalation, which is likely going to entail a major response, a complete breakdown in peace talks. And this strategy that's been leveraged by the axis of resistance up until this point, where you have these constant pinprick attacks from all directions to try to attrit the IDF and the Americans, I think that that game is over. I think we are about to see massive escalation on all fronts. consider that just today, that they did this on a very symbolic day. And remember, we're still talking about the timeline of events here. Netanyahu got the green light for this, okay? And we're going to have to assume that they had some help from the Saudis, from the Americans, from stuff that was going on in airspace that was proximate Iran, in Tehran. Just today, the Iranian president was inaugurated, the new president, and he was meeting with all factions of the Axis of Resistance. Okay, he met with this guy today. And so we are going to see an explosion of hostilities, because now not only is there no prospect for peace in the Gaza Strip, zero. This guy has been martyred now, okay? And whether you agree with the ideology of Hamas or whatever or not, the people who do are likely going to just have more fuel for their cause. And of course, this is just going to show the Axis that there is zero possibility of de-escalation at this point, because they're trying to execute all the top brass. Now, say what you want. You might not agree with the methods of the Israelis. You might not agree with the what they're doing in the Gaza Strip. I certainly don't. But in terms of these targeted attacks, I mean, obviously they're leveraging the best technology in the world. They have the United States at their total disposal. So, you know, really, we're basically commending the United States on their technology here and the Israelis' capability of leveraging that. Because this was a guy who was staying at a hotel. So there must have been some infiltration within either the IRGC, the ranks of the Iranian military, some aspect of the Axis of Resistance. There's a mole in there somewhere, I would presume, at this point in time. Let me just get some lights on here. Might drain the battery tonight here. Right now, Israel has just sent out a memo to its citizens that they need to stock up on all of the essential supplies. I mean, they've been saying this for a long time. They've been getting the hospitals prepped. They've been getting the bunkers loaded up with stuff. People have been buying generators, getting prepared. We have U.S. warships in tow, amphibious ready groups, 5,000 Marines, I believe, just off the coast in the Mediterranean, ready to enter this fray. So we're about to see a massive explosion of hostilities. The fact that this took place on the day that it did, with the inauguration of the new Iranian president as he met with all members of the Axis of Resistance, and that this was the top political leadership of Hamas. This was the guy who was supposed to negotiate the deal. So if you were tired of hearing about ceasefire deals, you're never going to have to hear about it again. Now, the military command of Hamas, that end of Hamas, and there still are, you know, several high-ranking officials within Hamas that will obviously take the reins of control over that organization. And they're still fighting on the front, okay? So interestingly, they took out the political leader. They took out the guy who could negotiate. So Netanyahu wants a massive war. Netanyahu wants to bring the United States into a massive war. I've been ruminating on the price of oil as of recent, and why has it been so low despite all of this happening? And I postulated yesterday that perhaps they think that we are going to see a global crisis that is so vast and far-reaching that it is going to completely collapse the global supply chain, create an imposition of martial law in numerous countries or some level of that, which is going to lead to the end of conspicuous consumption, which largely fuels most of the energy consumption of our world. We're going to switch back on the industry for the war machine. which still has a net lower energy demand, and that perhaps this is why the price of oil is so low, despite all of the major oil producers in the world being involved in a hot war right now, because it makes no sense whatsoever. Okay. Of course, the USD, the Treasury Department, has a vested interest in keeping inflation down so that the banks don't collapse. You keep inflation down by keeping oil down. So you have this tug of war. You have this forestalling of this massive Middle East conflict. For the longest time, Netanyahu has been reined in by the leadership in Washington, who is behind him to go to war. They just don't want him to go to war yet. Then let's go back a little further. Trump, I guess, was supposed to be assassinated, right? That didn't happen. And it's almost like a flip. A switch got flipped. Even Elon Musk has just changed lately. If you've been following him on Twitter, it's like mask off across the board. Something big is going down. RT and TASS, the Russian mainstream media networks, were completely silent about this for the first couple hours. And that is unheard of. Okay, when something happens of this magnitude, RT is on it. CNN was on this from the start. Front page. CNN understands the significance of this. The Russians are being quiet. That's scary. That's scary. RIA Novosti was reporting on it. RT, TASS, arguably the biggest media organizations in Russia. Before I turned this video on, there was zero reporting of this. Zero. Now, the only hope is that Iran, who has had its nuclear scientists targeted in the past on their soil and has let it slide, is willing to let this slide. I just can't imagine how, even if they're willing to let it slide, that they're going to be able to rein in their proxies after this. And quite frankly, in the current climate, where they've already broken the seal of attacking Israel directly, I cannot imagine a world where they don't retaliate directly after having a drone strike on one of their allies, a guy who the president of Iran was just hugging today. Yeah, I can't see them not respond to that. The only way that this thing doesn't escalate is that maybe, and I ran this by one of my Middle Eastern friends, and I said, you know, well, what if Iran negotiated some kind of deal with Israel? And he's like, don't even think about it. Don't even. He's like, if they did that, it's just completely implausible. And, but, you know, there still is a possibility, I will say, that maybe as a way to close the book on this, Iran said, okay, you can take him out. We're going to tell you where he's staying, and that's going to be the end of this. I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. But I try to consider things from all angles. When I made that video back in January of 2024, and I said that they are going, I said it in the first 30 seconds of the video, because I wanted it to be there for posterity, and so that there could be no doubt that I said it. They're going to go to war with Iran before the election. I thought we were there in April of 2024. And almost like divine intervention or something, you know, the hand of God or something came down and said, no, we're not going to start this yet. Obviously, there was some good negotiation going on, good diplomacy in the background. But this time, I think this time, this axis of resistance is finally starting to see that there is no point in negotiating because the West wants a war. We want a war. We've known that Netanyahu needs a war for the longest time. And everybody is celebrating this as, well, the people, even not even the hardliners in Israel are celebrating this. Honestly, I've been saying this guy should have been assassinated a long time ago. I mean, when I first seen him being paraded around in the Middle East, I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me that the leader of Hamas is going and visiting all these countries and he's still alive? So the fact that they've waited this long is, I guess we all just got used to the fact that that made no sense. But here we go. So what's happened now? And that means that they have no intention at all of negotiating. They want a war. They want to keep, or Netanyahu wants to maintain power. They were going to forestall the major vertical escalation until a later date, but now Netanyahu has the green light. Something, a switch has been flipped, man. Something has changed. And I think the crisis that is coming is going to be massive. That is why the price of gold is going up. That is why the markets, despite a slight correction in the NASDAQ, are still going up. Because foreign investors are pouring into the American stock market. Because there's no better option at this point. You know, it's the cleanest shirt in a dirty laundry basket. And that's a sign, even when you look at the US CAD index, the US dollar to Canadian dollar index, we're reaching, I think we've exceeded now, we're on our way to the record discrepancy that we've seen during COVID. In COVID, you had this triumvirate of things. You had the gold price that was high. You had the stock market that was raging in the latter half of 2020, remember? And then you had the price of oil that was low, just cratering. In a global crisis, okay? In a global crisis, something that's not quite Mad Max, but a military World War III lockdown of sorts. You are going to have gold go through the roof. You're probably going to have the American stock market pump because that's where, you know, we got dollars. Where should we put them, right? And the safest place is the U.S. Even if Europe goes to a limited nuclear war just in Europe, maybe the U.S. will still be alive. And then you're going to see oil plummet, right? That's exactly what we're seeing right now, despite Venezuela on the brink of collapse, biggest oil reserves in the world, despite Russia having oil refineries targeted on a daily basis, despite every country in the Middle East in some way in the crosshairs of this conflict, which is flaring up, every single major oil producing nation on earth is on the brink of some major geopolitical crises, and the price of oil is, in relative terms, compared to the value of a US dollar today versus 1970, dirt cheap. That doesn't add up. They're expecting something big, something bigger than a regional crisis. A regional crisis, the price of oil skyrockets, $300 a barrel. Global crisis, the end of global trade, the end of conspicuous consumption, oil craters, because everybody's on lockdown. And right now the Israelis are telling their population, you need to stock up and get ready for what's coming. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they let those guys go. I could be mistaken about this. This could be fake news. I glanced at it today. Didn't have much time to do anything else. This is the video for today. Just too busy. Getting preps. Getting prepared. That's what I'm doing. That's what I've been doing all summer, man. Just grinding because I know it's coming. But we're hearing that they released those guys who tortured the prisoners to appease the protesters, the right-wing protesters. So there's a bloodlust there that remains. It's psychotic. It is completely unreasonable. And it's fanatical. And this is the problem with any sort of extremism. Religion is fine. I like religious people. I like, you know, the moderate religious people. They're great. You know, they're great, upstanding members of society. But when you get into these extremist fanatics, okay, these are the people who are going to destroy the planet. This is where it's going to start. It's interesting how the, you got to really do a double take on those prophecies at times like these. Let's see what happens, guys. Keep on prepping, man.